online at stmatthewshouse.org.
For more information or requests for audio files of previous shows, go to www.bobharden.com.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the good folks at Johnson's Air Conditioning, Naples' longest established air conditioning company, as well as Naples Illustrated, bringing you infinite luxury lifestyles. Visit the website, naplesillustrated.com. Coming up, we're going to visit with Larry Bell. He's the author of The Climate of Corruption. We'll be talking about the money and politics behind climate change. Right now, we have with us Larry Reed. Larry is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
And for our listeners that may not be familiar with the Foundation for Economic Education, maybe you could tell us about it.
Okay. We're an educational organization focused on young people in high school and colleges, and our purpose is to inspire and educate them in ideas of individual liberty, a free economy, and personal responsibility.
Great organization. I encourage our listeners to write this down. Go to fee.org, F-E-E.org, to find out more. Larry, you've written a series called Clichés of Progressivism. This latest is one that I find so much misunderstanding. The cliché is, of course, progressive cliché. Profit is evidence of suspicious behavior. Maybe you can tell us about it.
I'd be happy to, Bob. A lot of people have this suspicious attitude towards profit. They think that automatically if somebody is seeking to make a profit or has made a profit, well, then they must have done something wrong. Somebody must have been shafted in the process. But in fact, profit is evidence of good behavior. Now, there are plenty of exceptions, just right. as with anything. But overwhelmingly, in free economies, when businesses seek and earn a profit, it's evidence that they've managed their resources well, they've brought together labor and raw material in a way that produces something that adds value to society. In fact, if you don't make a profit, then you've either broken even or you've lost money. And I can hardly see any virtue in those two things, because if you've broken even, you have an added value to society. And if you've lost money, which is really easy to do, incidentally, doesn't require any particular skill, you've subtracted value from society. So we should all seek to make a profit. We should all seek to leave the world a better place than we found it, which is another way of saying we generated some profit.
Right. In fact, a business that doesn't make a profit ends up going out of business. Jobs are lost. I mean, it's a lose-lose for everybody involved. And one time I was sitting on a panel and with a group of people. One was a school teacher, and so this whole notion of profit came up. And I said, "Well, what happens to profits?" And she says, "Well, it goes to the people that are running the business." And I said, and, you know, total misunderstanding of how profits are. Profits of Apple's for years did not pay any dividends. They simply took that money and reinvested it to do what? Create more profit, but also create more jobs, more opportunity, more plants, more capital.
That's right. And when profit does go to the owners in a business that is owned by shareholders, the shareholders are getting a return on having taken the risk of parting with their money and investing it with the company.
Right. So interesting. So tell us a little bit about the a little bit of the history. I think you've written words by economist Nikolay Shmyliov.
Yes. He was an economist late in the Soviet Union in the 1980s. And he made a statement. You know, keep in mind that the Soviet Union, being a communist country, did not like the idea of profit. They were founded upon the Marxist idea that profit is somehow evidence of having ripped somebody off. But by the late 1980s, the Soviets started to realize, you know, this economy we've got where we don't allow profit is in pretty deep depression, nonstop. And he wrote this. He said, "The economic situation of enterprises will have to depend directly on profit, and profit cannot fulfill its function until prices are liberated from subsidies. Over the centuries, humankind has found no more effective measure of work than profit. Only profit can measure the quantity and quality of economic activity and permit us to relate production costs to results effectively and unambiguously. Our suspicious attitude toward profit is a historical misunderstanding, the result of the economic illiteracy of people. I mean, that's a leading Soviet economist,
right.
And he finally came to his senses.
Well, you know, he wasn't the first, because back in the colonial days, Governor Bradford settled Plymouth Plantation. He actually wrote about it. I've read his account of this, and it's amazing, the economic history of Plymouth Plantation.
That's right. When it was first settled, you had a policy of sort of like a communist arrangement, whereby everybody produced for the common storehouse. Everybody brought what they produced there, and then it was parceled out fairly equally among the people. Of course, what it meant was everybody had an incentive to sort of stake a claim on the storehouse, but they had very little incentive to produce for it, because after all, if it was going to belong to everybody, if you produced a little extra but couldn't keep it, why bother to produce it in the first place? So they nearly starved under that communist arrangement until Governor Bradford said, okay, no more of that. Each of you now is going to produce for your own profit. Produce as much as you want, as much as you can, sell it to each other for whatever you can get. And lo and behold, they suddenly had bountiful harvests.
Absolutely. And in fact, a part of the process, as I recall, is he actually divided up the land, gave plots of land. People were invested in the land. They could produce it. They could sell it. They could do whatever they wanted with it. And Plymouth Plantation was off and running.
Yeah, yeah, it made all the difference in the world. When you take profit away, you take incentive away, and all of a sudden everybody wants as much as they can get of whatever anybody else produces, but they don't add to the pot themselves.
Are you write about a simple layman's way of viewing profit. Maybe you could tell us about it.
Yeah, can you imagine, this is an easy way to think of it. If somebody takes $100 worth of stuff, and let's say that stuff is labor, raw materials, what have you, they shake it up, they apply their thoughts and ingenuity to it, and then the end product generates $150 in the marketplace. That is to say, what people formerly would offer $100 for, you've done something to it now that causes them to want to offer $150. You've added value to society. You've left it better off, and you've, by definition, made a profit. Let's say you've taken that $100 worth of stuff, play around with it, put it out on the marketplace, and now the most that anybody will give you for it is $50. Well, you've subtracted value from society. You've not only not made a profit, you've generated a loss. Society's worse off because of it, and fortunately, you're worse off, so maybe you won't do that again.
Certainly makes sense, and a good object lesson for all of us. Again, Larry Reed, the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, I encourage you to visit the website, FEE.org. Larry, wish we had more time. Great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
My pleasure indeed. Okay, coming up, we're going to visit with Larry Bell, professor at the University of Houston in space architecture. He did some research outside of his theater of operation. It was on climate change. And boy, did he discover some shocking facts. We'll be talking about that and more right here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.